Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here in our studio. Steve Livengood is in this morning. It's show-off day at the Armory, the old Armory, the American Legion building here in Atlantic on Saturday. I guess you could call it that, right?
Indeed. Come down and look at it because we're going to show it off.
Yep, shine it and show it.
Wash it and show it.
It's not really a car show or a motorcycle show, although you might see some things that kind of look a little bit like modified cars and motorcycles.
You will. You will. You can probably touch these as opposed to most of your car shows, so it definitely differs as far as that goes. And I don't think they have a lot of cannons at car shows, but we got some of those coming in, too.
I hope not. Yeah. That would be modified. We have the Bada Bada Bing Bang Rally. This is what, the third?
Is the third one. I think I'm going to change it next year. I'm going to need your help. I want to schedule on a day that it's not going to rain. So if you can tell me when that'll be, I'm going to ask you in a month or so.
Yeah. Talk to me on Friday. I'll tell you what Saturday is going to be.
No, I got to have it out before then.
Well, you can't help the weather for those types of things. But you've had some pretty good luck with this over the years.
We have. We're growing every year. We're pulling people in from way far away. I've got people coming over 300 miles that are bringing vehicles to this thing. So, it's really growing. It's kind of the talk of the – it's kind of fun to Google, bada, bada, bing, and that's about all you got to hit because there's not a lot of other hits. And there's some talk out there on it. Really is.
Well, you say it's growing over the years. How is it growing? Is it by word of mouth? Does the word just get around amongst those folks who have those types of vehicles?
I think present company excluded, yeah, I think our cheapest advertising is word of mouth. The owners, there's a couple of websites where the crazy folks with military vehicles congregate, and so I post on those. They get to talking back and forth, and that sort of thing happens. So it is word of mouth. These guys, they know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, and so the vehicles are coming in because of word of mouth. The public comes in because, hey, did you see that thing last year, and now they're waiting a year for it to happen again.
Yeah. Steve, I want to dig in a little bit, too, for folks who don't really know a whole lot about that, have just seen it from a distance. But for those folks who actually do purchase these types of vehicles and then keep them in the type of shape it requires to get them out to events like this, how much time and, how much dollar is invested in something like that?
Well, there's basically two different types of military vehicles. You've got the old stuff. We're talking World War II and Korean and vintage stuff. If you can find one that's parade ready, it's already done, it's easy to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on these things. And that's just a truck. If you're talking about a track vehicle of some kind, well, those create all other problems. One, you can't drive them from here to there, so you got to have an $80,000 truck just to haul the darn thing. But if you can find one out in a timber someplace that has only been sitting there for 60 years and all it needs is just a little bit of work, sure, yeah. It's easy now because you can find parts as opposed to 30 years ago when you couldn't find parts. You can find parts now. It's just, there's lots of parts stores on the internet. Unfortunately, parts are still very expensive. On the other hand, the stuff that the surplus vehicles, there are some areas where the government is currently surplusing vehicles. If they don't have to be demilled, in other words, if they don't have to be changed and so that you can't go to war with them anymore, track vehicles and that sort of thing, if they're a pickup, if they're a cargo truck or something like that, you can actually get them fairly cheap. We'll have some 5-ton trucks there right now that probably aren't more than 15 years old. The guys have got $8,000-$9,000 in them, so it's relatively cheap to start with the new ones. It's very expensive to start with the old ones. Of course, the new ones, government really doesn't care too much about mile per gallon. So they're kind of expensive to operate regardless of how much you paid for them.
You mean there aren't a lot of solar-powered military vehicles out there?
I think it has something to do with reliability. Yeah. It has to work when it needs to work.
Yeah, yes. It has to work on the cloudy days.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
So who works on these things? And is it tough to find people, mechanics and the like, that can keep these things in good shape?
Most of the guys that have them, they do it themselves. There are places in town, Liberty Auto, Liberty Restoration, for instance, up in Elkhorn. They work on them, but generally, if you have one, you know how to, you have a full set of tools. The guys know them. If they don't know how to work on them, then they'll figure out how to work on them, and they learn. And that's part of what they do, what they enjoy is, oh, hey, did you know that this bearing interacts on that wheel, which turns this axle kind of thing? They have to learn what it is. And it's not something that you're going to learn in a Votech school in college or something like that, you know, how to repair a 60-year-old vehicle. They just don't cover that stuff anymore.
Oddly, yeah.
Yeah, there's no call for it, but actually maybe there is because there's folks that have these kind of vehicles.
Okay, so you're going to put a lot of time and effort into it, most likely. You're going to put some cash into it, depending upon what you're going to buy. You might even have to spend a lot of money on a big trailer or a truck or something to haul it. So you've got quite an investment in this. So I guess the bigger question is then, why do these folks do it?
Well, you know, one of the questions before then is, so after you've bought all this money and you spent all this time working on everything, why did you do that? You know, so you're going to take your Jeep and you're going to go to, you know, on vacation to the Grand Canyon or something like that? No, you did that in order to show it to somebody. You know, and that's what this is all about. It gives them an opportunity to show it to it, to show you their vehicle. So that's kind of why they do it, in order to teach history, to talk about how the unique things used to be and how this worked and how that worked. And a lot of it is just to educate. That's what they do it for.
And in some instances, you know, they come back after their service and what they have are stories to tell folks. This gives them a visual to kind of add to the story.
It's a training aid. It's a touchy-feely training aid sort of thing. Now, when you talk about, well, you know, we had the machine gun on the back of the Jeep and, you know, we'd go through or we'd do a patrol or something like that. And like, well, I don't quite understand that, because if you've never been to service, you don't know what a machine gun on the back of the Jeep looks like. And so they get a Jeep and put a machine gun on the back of it and say, you know, like this. Yeah.
Yeah, no slide presentations. No, we just give you the real thing.
Exactly. Yeah, touch it if you want to.
You bet. Well, let's talk about Saturday. What kind of vehicles will they see? I know you have a good list of them there.
I have a good list. I have 30 of them that I expect to come in this year. That's trucks, tracks, motorcycles, cannons, static displays. There's just pretty much everything. I've got Jeeps. I think I've got, what is there, like 6 or 7 Jeeps coming in. Some of them are coming in as early as tomorrow. Some of them will be coming in Saturday morning from wherever they're coming from. I have clubs, you know, that travel together, and so they all kind of arrive at the same time. One of the reasons when I started this at, you know, kind of late in the afternoon or late in the morning, rather, is because these guys, they don't need to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning because they're driving 150 miles. You know, you got to load it and everything else. And so I wanted to, you know, kind of get here whenever you want to, sort of thing. But the problem happens is that the local folks, the guys that drive it 3 or 4 blocks down the street in Nordico, and we have some of those here in town too, they start showing up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then the public drives by and is like, oh, look, the trucks are coming in, and so they start showing up, but they're not all here yet. So I guess I would tell the public that, yes, if you see the trucks there, by all means, stop, take a look, that kind of thing. But if you leave at 9 o'clock because, yeah, I saw the trucks, and he really didn't have that many of them, that's because they're not here yet. You need to wait until they get here. You can come early if you want to, but they're not all going to be here at start time. I've got some of them I expect to come in as late as 10 o'clock in the morning. So they'll be coming in. Safety is my main concern. These are big trucks. They don't have a lot of visibility. Quite honestly, they were designed to run over things, whether it's obstacles, folks, whatever else. So they don't know that they're not in combat, the truck I'm talking about. So if you're standing out there in a parking lot and we're trying to move a truck around someplace, don't stand in the parking lot. So that's kind of one of the reasons I kind of like to clear the parking lot when they do start coming in, even though it's really cool to watch them drive around, and without a doubt, it is. If you want to watch him drive around, you probably need to hang back around, oh, I don't know, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when we're going to go on the cruise. And that's when you'll really see him driving around, all of them driving around.
Yeah, it's a fun experience. Interesting experience to see. So give them the details on Saturday then. What time, where, what will happen?
Saturday at 9 o'clock, some of the early vehicles will start coming in. The show itself, it is for the public, but my focus isn't on what the public's going to do. My focus is the owner-operators. Arise will be there, so the Armory, American Legion Memorial Building, will be open. The museum is open. The library is open. We have a Remember Our Fallen, which is kind of a, I don't know, it's sitting up there right now. It's the folks in Iowa that have lost their lives due to the recent conflicts. There's photographs and that sort of thing. It's kind of a Vietnam Wall sort of thing, only in the current conflicts. That's there, and as I say, it's there right now. So anyhow, the owner-operators will come in. I've got gifts for them. They park their vehicles. They set up their displays and whatnot. I go around. I cruise the parking lot. We'll have a meal available for the owners and for the general public, too. Then we're just going to just kind of spend some time looking at them. It takes a long time to look at them. When you've seen one Jeep, don't say, well, yeah, I saw all the Jeeps. No, they're all different. So it takes a long time to look at them. After we eat, we'll spend some more time looking at them. I'll fire the cannon. That means all you folks that don't know what you're doing, get out of the parking lot so you don't get run over. And then we'll fire up the trucks, and we're going to go on the cruise. We'll head west out to around the Pizza Hut, Casey's West, scoop the loop out there all the way out to Walmart. We stop out there at the parking lot for what I call the ice cream social. That's not an ice cream bar for the general public. That's an ice cream bar for the owner-operators. We'll start there or stop there for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, somewhere around in there. Starting back up again, head back down the building, be done. Ought to be back at the armory by 4 o'clock in the afternoon or so. Lots of times to watch them driving around.
Yeah, it's a good solid day for those folks.
Big
and
time.
Hopefully, let's keep our fingers crossed, hopefully the weather will hold out for us and everybody will have fun.
Even if it's raining, I have some folks that might not show up, but even if it's raining, there's still things to do. So, you know, come on down and stay dry inside the building, if nothing else.
And check out the building, too, by the way. I want to thank you guys, you and the rest of the folks with Arise. It's been a while since I've been down there. I've been to a few recent presentations. You guys are being active, getting the public in there for presentations. There's been a lot done, and there are a lot of things in there for you to see if you have not been in there.
It is. It changes, depending on my schedule, probably every 2 weeks. I mean, there's a lot of things happening down there. It really is. Yeah. We're all about history.
Yeah, appreciate the effort, because that's important stuff. If it would have been let go too long, you'd never get it back.
Yeah, we're close.
We were awful close, teetering on the cliff.
Yes, we were.
But yeah, get a chance. If you do get a chance to get down there, enjoy some of the programs. They work hard to put some nice programs together down there. But get down and check that out and see one of those treasures here right under your nose. Steve, thanks for coming in this morning. Good luck Saturday with the Bada Bada Bing Bang Rally.
Thanks, Jim. It's going to be another fun one, I'm sure. And yeah, next year we'll do it, whether it's raining or not.
I just wanted to say that one more time.
Yeah, isn't it fun?